But that's my life, so I just carry on the best I can. After 18 years, honestly, I don't think about it anymore. In fact, I don't think much about the future. That's what bondage does. Others can see a horizon. Others see the sun setting in the evening and wake up to see it rise again. They have hope. I see one step and then another. But today is the Sabbath, and I will go to the synagogue. I sometimes wonder why I keep going every week, but it's what I've always done, and it wouldn't feel right not to go. Because my body is so bent over, I'm used to looking at people out of the corner of my eye by looking up and sideways. At least I don't have to see the look of pity on their faces. I lean on my cane so the pain is easier to bear. Today there's a lot of excitement at the synagogue. A Galilean preacher and prophet, Jesus of Nazareth, has come to town and will be teaching here. I've heard reports about Jesus, how he talked about God and how he healed sick people. I'm not sure how many of the rumors to believe, but I'm not getting my hopes up. My life already has had too many disappointments. When I entered the synagogue, the place was buzzing. I could hear this Jesus talking and teaching, and then suddenly the room became quiet. He was standing close to me, and I heard him say, "Come here." Was he talking to me? I slowly made my way to the front of the assembly. Then this Jesus said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." He put his hands on my broken body, and I felt a power rush through me. And I knew at that moment, I knew I was healed. I stood up perfectly straight. I was healed. Praise God.
On your pew Bible and page 847. No, it's not. Yep. It's on your in your pew Bible on page 8. Where are we? 8:46, I think. Oh, it is on 8:47. Jesus heals a crippled woman on the Sabbath. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leaders said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, and the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing.
We're beginning our sermon series. I'll take that. Thank you. Gives me something to lean on. Sermon series. It's Advent. And this is the first Sunday of Advent. This is the first Sunday of that time where we are waiting for this thing, this great event to happen, the great event of the manger. We relive this every year, this time of year. And we put a lot of effort into this time of year too. A lot of effort with decorations, a lot of effort with extra stuff in the services, a lot of effort at home, a lot of effort just generally at this time of year. Because who doesn't want to welcome a baby? Who doesn't want this happy event to happen? Who doesn't want to relive this romantic time, for lack of a better word, when Jesus was born? In all the circumstances that surrounded that birth, Jesus was born, and we want to remember this. It's a great time for us. And we should be celebrating. But sometimes, I'm afraid, we get lost in the birth itself. Because the birth is not the end. We come to Christmas Day and we go, yes, it's great, Jesus is born. And let's give each other gifts in celebration of that. But the birth is not the beginning, or the birth is not the end. We tend to end that on Christmas, and we sort of go, okay, well, that's done now. Advent is over. Christmas is over. And we forget, I'm afraid sometimes, the reason why Jesus came in the manger. We forget his life, and we forget his death. And we forget that he lives now. And so this Advent season, we're going to look at the life of Christ, at the death of Christ, and Jesus' resurrection as well. If you want to find a reason, a good passage that depicts the reason why Jesus came to earth, you'll be hard-pressed to find one better than the one that Trevor just read. This passage is a wonderful passage of depicting why Jesus came. There's two things that happen in this passage today. Two things. Jesus heals the crippled woman. Jesus heals the crippled woman. As Jenny depicted, there was this woman that was hunched over and bent way over, and she was suffering from an ailment, an infirmity, says our text. A condition, a problem. And Jesus heals this woman from her problem. This implies two things. Jesus says, when he says the words, woman, you are free from your infirmity, it implies two things. The first is that she was in bondage. And Jenny used that word, in bondage. She was in bondage to her infirmity. which means that she had a condition, an ailment as well. It's the second thing. And Jesus gets down to the root cause of it all. You know, I used to work in the corporate world, and when we had problems in the corporate world, incidents and accidents and all that neat stuff, we had a team that went out to go to try to find the root cause. What's the root cause of all this? Jesus quickly points out what the root cause is. Satan has bound you, woman. Satan has bound the woman in her infirmity, in sin. The woman's infirmity was caused by sin. Now that seems rather simplistic for our scientific world. Face it, we are living in a scientific age. And so if we were to talk to a woman like that, and say Jenny was still standing here and she was sort of hunched over, I would go up to Jenny and I would ask her, so what is your problem? Do you have osteoporosis? Do you have scoliosis? Do you have sciatica? What is the diagnosis? And what will be the prognosis? You know, all these words that I just said, these words that I just mentioned, we sort of know what they mean, don't we? We know what they mean because we live in a very scientific world. These are science words, words of science. And yet science cannot cure. It is God who heals. Okay? We can treat. We can come to some sort of, we can manipulate the body and manipulate our systems, and we can treat a lot of things, but human beings cannot cure. Only Christ can heal. Only Christ can heal. And that's because we live in a sin-filled world. Satan is the one behind the pain. Satan is the one who caused this woman to be hunched over for 18 years in her condition. Satan is the one who bound her. Some years ago, my eldest sister, who I can really say she's way older than I am, if she was here, she'd slap me. I know she would. She's got 16 years on me, okay? So you can see where I'm coming from. She had her hip replaced at a way too young age for her some years ago. And I remember her talking to me and speaking about an observation she made when she was undergoing the treatment of that. And of course, when you're undergoing treatment for a certain ailment, for a certain problem, you sort of notice these things in other people too. And so she was keenly observant to the people who were limping around, who had mobility issues, who were struggling just to move. And she says to me, she says, you know, nobody really wants that. Nobody wants to not get around well. Nobody wants to be hunched over. Nobody wants to limp whenever they walk. Nobody wants this. Now, you may call her Captain Obvious, but this is an astute observation because nobody wants it. In other words, she's saying everyone is bound by it. We're not free from it. We are bound. And so that leads me to say today that if you have pain, or if you are suffering from any kind of illness, or if you are enduring some type of emotional trauma or any kind of condition, you are bound. And you are bound by sin. You may not be a sin that you're a sinner, that type of thing. But the effects of sin have bound you in your condition, in your pain. And it's only Jesus that can set us free from that. The same way that Jesus set the woman free from that pain. It is only through Christ. The second thing that Jesus does is he heals on the Sabbath. So in the first instance, he's showing his power over sin. He's showing everyone his power over sin. But now he's healing on the Sabbath. And, you know, I love the reaction of the synagogue leader here. I think it's funny because here's this woman bent over like this, looking up. She can only look up. She has to look down at her toes the whole time. And she can only look up through the corner of her eye. And she's bent over for 18 years. You don't think that this guy, this synagogue leader, knows who this woman is? And Jesus calls her forward and heals the woman. And the first thing the guy says, hey, wait a minute. Whoa. You cannot do this on the Sabbath. You got 6 days, but not on the Sabbath. Did you see the miraculous sign that this man just did for this woman? Did you see the relief in her eyes? Did you see her immediate reaction afterwards? Synagogue leader, she praises God. Praise God. This guy can't get over the Sabbath. Sabbath. It's not the first time Jesus did this in the book of Luke either. Jesus did this in Luke 6. Similar situation. A man with a shriveled hand. On the Sabbath. In the synagogue, Jesus was teaching. In the synagogue, he had a shriveled hand. And Jesus knew that the other guy, that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking out for him because he knew, wondering if he was going to heal on the Sabbath or not. And he knew this. And he said to them, he says, what's better for me to do? What's better for me to do right now? Is it better for me to do good or to do evil on the Sabbath? And he says to the man, he says, stretch out your hand. And the guy stretched it out. And it was like it's brand new. And he's going, oh, I can use my hand. My life has just changed. I can use my hand again. Jesus is showing here that he has the authority to change the rules. So not only does he have authority to change over sin, but he has authority to change the rules. And we struggle with that. Trust me, I struggled with that this week. Christ came to fulfill the law. To fulfill it. The law says the law was given to the people of Israel as they were at the base of Mount Sinai. After centuries of being enslaved by the Egyptians, they were brought by God out of Egypt to the base of Sinai. And God gave them the Ten Commandments. And in the Ten Commandments is this one law. Keep the Sabbath day holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. You shall not on it. You shall not do any work. You, your manservant, maidservant, ox, donkey, anything, anybody that comes, any alien that comes within your gates. Nobody does any work on the Sabbath. This rule, other than this rule just got changed by Jesus, by the way. And I'll tell you why. Jesus came to fulfill the law. If we go to Galatians chapter 3, and if you look at Galatians chapter 3, and if you look at verse 23 to 25, the Apostle Paul is explaining to the church in Galatia, before the coming of this faith, before the coming of the faith in Christ. We were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we may be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, the guardian of the law. Jesus was asked by a teacher, and he was asked this question. He said, what's the most important laws? And Jesus said two laws. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And all of the law and the prophets hang on these two laws, on these two rules. Jesus has set the woman free, the people free, from the law. Now, that doesn't mean that we can just do whatever we want to do all the time, because we still need to love our neighbor and love. And that doesn't negate the law. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, but I've come to fulfill it. Meaning that Jesus now stands as the fulfillment in between us and the law. And so when it comes to the Sabbath, that Jesus was healing on the Sabbath, when it comes to that, he says to us, he says to the people, he says to everybody, let me get this right. He says we are no longer bound to that rule of the Sabbath, the way that we know it as a rule, because the rule was trumping everything else. The rule was precedent over everything else, and Jesus has now come into that place in between us and the law. He is now our guardian. Okay, so when it comes down to the Sabbath, we have to understand that we have it pretty soft. We take Sundays as our Sabbath. That's why you're all here today, right? It's because Sundays is a Sabbath. But in our world, in our North American culture, in our Western world, we have it pretty soft because we have weekends off for the most part. Most of us do. We have weekends off. Some of us work 6 days. Some of us work 5 days. Some of us work less days. When the law was given at the base of Sinai, the people were enslaved for 7 days a week. And they were told by God, you need to stop. You need to stop because you need to praise me. And Jesus is saying, now you find your rest in me. I have just changed the rules. You find your rest in me. The technicalities, the legalities, we are free from. But we need to still praise God. We still need to find our rest in Christ. And that is not just a Sunday only or a Sabbath only event. That is a daily event. To find your rest in Christ. To live for Christ. So what does all of this mean for our Advent point of hope today? Jesus came with the authority of God, came with the power to not only resolve our sin, but came to resolve the legalities that we keep on holding on to. And to resolve that in such a way that we find hope in him once again. And we find hope in the understanding, in that sure thing that he is going to return. And as I talked to the kids this morning, as surely as you think that the sun is going to come up tomorrow, our Christ is going to return. With that hope is what we live with. That hope, that Advent hope. Of counting in a Messiah, of counting on Jesus to return. This is that hope. Because we need a Savior. We need a Savior. We need a Savior to take us away from our sin, to heal us from that. We need a Savior that's going to release us from our bounds to legalities. We need a Savior that's going to reach into our lives and help us to find that peace when our world is just crumbling apart. We need a Savior that's going to help us learn what the truth is in the just overwhelming abundance of lies that we keep on receiving day in and day out. We need a Savior that's going to make this, that's going to make this life of ours livable. We need a Savior. And Jesus is coming. And we are going to rejoice. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we are maybe reeling a bit with what was just been said, help us to understand the reason why you've come. Help us to understand the reason why you've come to fulfill the law. Help us to reason, the reason to understand the miraculous sign that you keep on giving to even today. The miraculous healings that you keep on giving today, Lord. Help us to honor you. And help us to have hope in you this Advent season. In Christ's name, amen. Sing a song of response. We'll sing, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say.
Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, O weary one, lay down your head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, so weary, worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in Him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, your morn shall rise, and all your day be bright. I look to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk, till traveling days are done.
Just a reminder that after the service, we serve refreshments. Please join us. Please join us for a cup and some conversation. People of God, in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found in him, by him, at peace without spot or blemish and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. And all God's people say, Amen.